Sinclair on the wing, handball away to Franklin.
Go for goal,
Franklin,
buddy.
Looks up, he's going to go for Brokey. Oh. He'll go for the lot. It's going to be Drew! What a monster kick from Buddy!
The fun of Buddy Franklin in action last night. A fantastic win by the Sydney Swans. It's 11 minutes past 12. Welcome back to Crunch Time with thanks to APB Group and Sports Fantasy Free. And Jared McVeigh, the Swans co-captain, has joined us on the line. Jared, thanks for your time.
Good afternoon, boys. How are you?
We're good. Congratulations on last night. It was an interesting game, obviously, in the first quarter. Just one goal kicked, and then you've kicked the first six goals of the game. The Hawks got a couple back before halftime. So how are you assessing things at the major break?
Yeah, look, we were pretty happy, obviously. I mean, to keep Hawthorn to a couple of goals and they didn't score the first quarter, you know, we were really happy with that after our team defence last week. I thought we really stepped that up and our pressure, was going pretty well and our contested ball stuff was good. So we were really happy with the way the game was panning out. At some point it was going to open up and, you know, it did here and there, but generally I thought it was a pretty, pretty defensive game all around.
And into that third quarter, Hawthorn did have a period where they kept coming at you, and I guess a great testament to your team that you were able to withstand them, because we've seen Hawthorn get over the line in that manner several times this year.
Yeah, look, I mean, great teams, they're always going to have their, times during games when they're going to be on, so you've got to try and stop that when you can and push back the other way. I thought we did that. We scored a couple of goals quickly after they did it. But we understand that they're going to have, periods in the game where they're going to be on. So you've just got to, stick to your structures as well and push back.
Jared, Maxie, mate, well done last night.
Thanks, mate.
We're all fascinated by Buddy Franklin, obviously unbelievable player. We know his challenges he faced at the end of last year. Have you seen a big change in him as a person around the place?
Yeah, massive change. He's a completely different guy around the club and just in general than what we're seeing. It's fantastic to see, obviously.
In what way specifically?
Just his happiness and his, his general, getting around the boys a lot and he just seems happy and you can see it in his footy, and just the way he carries himself is a lot different to what we've seen last year. So he's obviously still has his challenges and he's still working through those things, but at the moment, he's in a really good headspace and obviously playing really good footy.
Spot on, Horing. He looks really happy the way he's playing, Robert.
Yeah, he does. He's terrific. Jared, when it's a situation like mental health, do the players leave it to the medicos and the experts, or do you, as a not just a senior footballer, you're an adult, you've lived many years on this planet, do you talk to him adult to adult about his issues, how you can help and all that sort of stuff, or do you let it go?
Yeah, look, you do. I mean, you see these boys every single day, so you do have ups and downs just generally with your form and stuff like that. You see guys going through rough patches. They might be homesick and stuff like that. So, you're constantly talking about all those types of things. But one thing, I've learned is that, people do hide that side of things really well, and it's hard to get a gauge on, what's happening at home. Behind closed doors, you never really know what's happening. So the more we do talk about it, the more we talk to Bud and other players in the team, that can only help. And sometimes it's a tough and scary conversation, but I think when they do talk about it, it does definitely help.
Do you think we in the public understand the stresses of AFL, and is mental health, Jared, is mental health a bigger issue that, again, we in the public believe it to be?
I think it's a huge issue, massive issue. I think, not just footy players, in the general public, it's a big issue, but I guess footballers, if we're talking about footballers, I think there's a lot of stresses as well. Your form or the supporters might be on your back, or the coaches, whatever it may be. I think a lot of guys do struggle, but they probably feel like they have to hide it, because you're meant to be this tough footballer. So if we can break down those, I guess, stereotypes and talk about it more within your groups. And if you've got a strong leadership group, hopefully they feel comfortable enough to talk to you or talk to someone within the team, or provide those avenues for the players to talk to. You know, we have to keep getting better at it.
So has there been cases over the years for you, Jared, where a player struggled and you didn't really know and you sort of found out years later that there was other things going on and that you wished they could have shared?
Not so much. I can't really recall too many instances, but, we saw in Lewis Jetta last year that he was really homesick at some point and you know, you do see that affecting his football. So, so those types of things, you're not too sure what's happening, but, we've got a program in place at our footy club where a lot of the young players have mentors with the older boys, and so you've got a group of two or three players that you're constantly checking in on and just be that, guide, I guess, between the coaching staff and then the senior playing group. So we're always trying to, stay across that type of stuff.
Who have you got? What sort of players and what sort of challenges would they throw at you? Is homesickness a real issue for the interstate club? We hear it a lot, the go-home factor, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of players, Macca, that really leave at the end of every year?
I think we've got a really good program in place. Dennis Carroll, former captain and player of our footy club, has a fantastic, player development program that we put in place. But it definitely has its challenges. A lot of the young kids, you come to Sydney for our club, for example, and you don't really have friends outside of footy, when you first come up. So you're constantly around it all and you don't have, I guess, that other outlet of, meeting new people until you do get familiarised with the city. So they're the challenges that the guys have, but we think we've got a good program in place. A lot of the first-year players live with the second-year players and third-year players, so you go into the housing program to look after each other. So we think we've nailed that, but we're always trying to improve it.
How's your dealings with your brother Spike, and how is he dealing with what happened, and how's he feeling in his life when he's lost this big chapter called football?
Yeah, look, he's obviously shattered, and he thought, obviously, coaching the GWS boys, he was loving that, or he is loving that. He can't wait to get back into that. And I think it'd be tough for him seeing them play so well that he's not been able to be a part of it this year. But he's fine now. Obviously, in the beginning, when you initially get the news, obviously it's pretty flattening. But
and for weeks, Jared, they just think, wow, it's just a big kick in the head for them all.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to. It's hard to put yourself in their shoes, and I saw a few of the Essendon boys the other day. A few of them obviously going overseas and stuff like that to get away from it all. But it's obviously a massive challenge for their footy club, and next year we'll see all those boys back and see how they go.
Back on the footy, mate, your own role last night. You spent a bit of time in the forward line. You've sort of been all over the place the last couple of years, midfield when needed, half back. Where do you see yourself for the rest of the season playing your best footy for the team?
Probably everywhere, mate. I started forward last night. We had a few things in place, but then Teddy went down. So just needed that extra player to go back. So, I train most of the pre-season as a defender, so that'll probably be where I am this year. But it's nice to have a few different strings to your bow, and I've played forward and midfield throughout my career, so it doesn't really matter just wherever I'm needed or if we need to, change a few things up with our structure. I'm happy to go anywhere, but I'd like to be playing a bit better, no doubt.
How proud were you, Jared, after the game when you actually look back to that third quarter when you were under siege? It just looked like you couldn't get the ball out. You were down there, Rampy was running loose, but there was players everywhere, and the Swans were just able to... They were just able to withstand at all. It was a critical 30 minutes of the game, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, good teams are always going to come at you, and you have to stem that tide, and it's important to stop the bleeding, but then try and score yourself to change that momentum. But yeah, the boys down back, they copped a bit of flack during the week, I think, from all reports, and I thought they stood up really well, and You know, Reggie Grundy had a really good game last night. Rampy's been our best defender all year, and you know, the boys stood up well. We've got a lot of young boys down there. Zach Jones and Callum Mills played well and held their own on very good players, and they learned a lot from the night.
I'm interested in if you can give us any insight into John Longmire, Jared. Kingy obviously played with him and knows him well. We see he doesn't give a lot away in the media, plays his cards pretty close to the chest. We see the hand over his mouth when he's getting angry in the coach's box. Can you give us anything about what John's like behind closed doors?
Oh, look, he's a very caring coach, and he doesn't give much away, and but I think that's what he likes. He stays away from the media quite a bit, but he's, you know, such a caring coach, and you know, a guy that you can talk to about your life in general, and he's always there with an open door every single day talking to the boys and you know, really getting around him, and that's what we love about him. But deep down, he's got that competitive streak where he's fiercely competitive and wants to win all the time, and like all coaches, they'll never leave any stone unturned. So he's, we love Horse and the way he goes about it, and he gets the best out of his playing group.
What pushes his buttons the most? What really gets him fired up, Jared?
Probably effort. If you don't bring your effort, you're going to lose games of footy. You know, that's just what happens. But if you don't bring your effort, there are things that if you're not hard enough at the footy, there are the things that he will not accept, from the playing group.
Just having a look at more the way you play, your back six are pretty much one-on-one. They're a back-shoulder type defensive unit, where most teams in the competition now have gone to that spatial defence, pressing right up the ground and playing assertive defence, if you like. There's a reluctance to evolve to that, isn't there? I mean, you're playing more a familiar style of the last 2 to 3 years. Not a lot has changed down there. Do you think there'll come a point where you will evolve and modernise, if you like, that back six mentality, or are you comfortable with how it sits?
Oh, look, we're comfortable with how it sits. You know, we're not too different to the other teams. A lot of teams get scored out the back pretty quickly, but I don't think you'll see that with us, because we are, we probably do stay on the man a bit more than other teams. But we have the same systems as most of the teams. It just looks a bit different out there. But we're all kind of playing the same way, and I think if you look over the last few years, our defence has actually been in the top, top five in the competition for a number of years. So, I heard a lot of the talk about, the defence is struggling, but the reality is, we haven't been going too bad over the past few years.
Well, do you want to coach, Jared?
Look, it's something I'm
coaching the
about.
NAB Cup.
Yeah, I'm 1-0, so I've got a good start.
But are you nutso enough?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. Something I've definitely thought about. I've done a lot of the courses and stuff, and I feel on game day that's, a strong part of my game is seeing the game well. So, it's definitely something I've thought about, and we'll think about it, when the end comes closer. But,
Hutto's one of your players.
It's definitely on the horizon.
Hutto's one of your players, and once again, he hasn't brought any effort. Right?
No.
What would you say to him, Jared?
How many weeks in a row?
No, eight weeks in a row.
You wouldn't have lasted eight.
Well, I mean, I'm averaging 3 goals a game, though. I'm still
he's
kicking the goals.
He's kicking goals, but he's bringing no effort. Jared, what do you say to him?
We'll have fun in the twos for a couple of weeks.
Nah.
Who knows? Just bring your effort and you'll always get it going.
It's funny with that effort thing, Kingy.
Too good for Nepal, I'm afraid.
It's a good question, Hutto. What triggers coaches? Invariably, it is effort. And when they go off, Maxie and Jared, they can get pretty personal, can't they? They can say, come on, can you try harder? Or they say...
They tend to hold on to that longer, the effort stuff. But if you make a mistake, it's like they'll have a crack at the play in that moment, then they move on straight away. But if there's effort, then it just lasts for a while.
Yeah, look, I think, most supporters as well and media and everyone, you can accept a loss if your players really tried their guts out and had a crack all day. But, if you don't bring that, and then, that's where, the cracks start to appear.
Jared, thanks very much for joining us. We've really admired the way the Swans have started this year, and a big game next week against North. So can't wait for that Friday night footy. It's going to be massive again. So thanks for joining us and giving us terrific insights.
Thanks for the good boys. Thank you.
And I'll see if I can bring some effort next week. Keep my place in the team. A change for Geelong, boys. Tom Lonergan is out and failed to recover from concussion. No surprise. I thought it was surprising that Ruggles was left out of the team on Thursday night. So he is back in. No changes for the Pies ahead of this afternoon's big game. So that is the situation there at the MCG. 26 minutes past 12. Don't forget, the interviews are always on sen.com.au, so you can always go there and get the latest. Matty Campbell's about to join us from Crownbet. The game just changed before that, Robbo.
Yeah, very quickly, the Sam Mitchell, Dan Hannanbury clash last night. Mm. I'm watching it on Fox, and I thought to myself, Rolfie's doing the news, so he'll talk about MRP and all that sort of stuff. And I said to someone I was watching with, I said, listen to Dermot when they go back to Dermot. Dermot said that happens 100 times in a game. So it was an incident that was really blown up.
It's just with the, yeah. You made a hand. You just turned around to push him off.
Into the sternum. And then Jonathan Brown was sitting next to Dermot and, oh, man, we can do that all the time. It was just interesting where, because there's so many cameras, it's like, let's look at this happening in 18 different angles. But it's only worth just 5 seconds discussion.
And then move on.
He whacked him in the throat.
He was a bit grumpy, though, wasn't he?
He was a bit grumpy.
He wasn't happy.
He was a little bit.
If it happens 100 times a game, he was pretty unhappy for it.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that, Kingy?
Oh, we didn't have 100 cameras on us, but I think that we didn't. Look, I just think that he'll have something to answer for, Robbo. I mean,
Do you really? I didn't hear your discussion on it, so
I don't think it's a great look for the game. And I think when you make these decisions to suspend, fine, or whatever. I don't think it's a suspension, but certainly I think it'll be a fine because I think you've got to look at the lower levels. That's not something we want creeping into the game at junior football level.